Blog Talk Radio.
There is no
will your heart and soul stay? Will your spirit stay? Thank you.
name, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's your breath in our lungs. So we lift up a praise to you today, Lord. We worship you. We bow down at your feet today, Lord. And we exalt you. We glorify you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your compassion, oh God. Thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us when we didn't love ourselves, for caring for us when we didn't care for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for extending mercy to us when no one else would. Oh God, for taking us out of the merry clay and putting our feet on the solid rock. Father, we thank you for salvation, oh God. Oh, Father, we just thank you for washing us in the blood of your Son today, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father. We ask you, oh God, to move in this service today by your Spirit. For your word declared, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We ask you to heal, oh God, all forms of infirmities today. Lord, that if there's a come on the line and there's a listen to this service today, Lord, have infirmities in their body, Lord, and they believe. You said if we can believe, all things are possible. Let the infirmities leave our bodies, O God, and go back to the pit of hell where they came from. We are grateful, O God, that you have granted us a new day. Father, we ask you to bless the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind, and allow it to carry this word that we release today into the hearts and minds of the people. And don't let them only hear the word and be excited, but let them hear the word, be excited, and let them activate the word in their walk, in their ministry, to give you glory in Jesus' holy name. I want to just run over this chapter of Psalms here quick. And then we're going to go to the part of the psalm that we're going to lift up. And then we're going to go to the book of Genesis. Today we're talking, this will be part two of the subject matter that we released on Monday. And it's the Eternal Tree of Hope, part two. The Eternal Tree of Hope, part two. I remember we came out of the main scripture was Psalm 1, and he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we know that this is true when we stay connected to the vine, as we did John chapter 15. We are the branches and he are the vine. We draw substance from him that we can prosper, spiritually prosper. And you know, not everybody thinking about the gold and the silver and the diamonds. But we're talking about spiritually prospering in the things of God, spiritually prospering. When people are lacking, we are prospering with peace. We are prospering with joy. We are prospering with our eternal peace. We have it in us. Folk wonder why we can still be happy and people don't have enough to eat, don't have enough to drink, and they don't get enough hours on their job. We don't have a job, but we still have joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We don't have the joy of the world. We have the joy of our Savior, of our Redeemer, of our soon-coming King in us. He says, verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hear what he's saying. Here we looked at this verse, and he says, chaff, the chaff is like the husk. I was looking this up on the dictionary on my computer, and it said the chaff is like stalks, the husk and stalks of wheat blown away by the wind as grain is winnowed. See, the grain falls to the ground, but the wind, while the corn is being spun, the wind is blowing through the corn and blowing away the chaff, the worthless stuff, the stuff that you can't use but burn in the fire. He says the congregation are of the term, the congregation or assembly often refers to the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 16, verse 22. Exodus 38 and 25. Here, it likely refers to more generally to all of God's people. And verse 6 says, Yahweh knows the way of the righteous. And it extends beyond knowledge to a deep level of understanding. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, Psalm 139, let's look over there, and then we're going to go to Genesis, Psalm 139, 23, and 24. We have to stay connected to him and knowing that that's our life source. I talked some time about we can have a refrigerator full of food. We can have prime rib. We can have ribeye steaks. We call it Idaho steaks. And all of this stuff, tomahawk steaks, we can have all kinds of steaks and all type of seafood in the fridge. But if we don't keep that fridge plugged into the receptacle, that's the little gadget on the wall where the electricity go to, what happened is in a few days, you know, if you had a refrigerator plugged in before, it has some coal in there. But if you open the door, the coal leaves, goes out every time you open in. And eventually what happened is the food that's in the fridge is going to spoil. You're going to have maggots in the fridge, and it's going to begin to put out a stench. Once you open that door, you say, oh, my Lord, what's this? But you're going to realize because you didn't connect to the source that would keep that food fresh, it spoils and make a stench in the house. And this is what happened to us. When we disconnect from Christ Jesus, from the tree of life, we become stink. We begin to put off a stench. People can tell that we don't have the life force flowing through us. We don't have it. There's a look on our countenance, and you see that our countenance is very heavy. It's got a sadness about us. There's no joy. There's no peace. Why? Because we are not connected to the tree of life. Hallelujah. The tree that is planted by the waters, many waters, it bringeth forth fruit in due season. Hallelujah. It is by the rivers of many waters, is bringing forth fruit in its season. Because why? It's getting substance. It's getting substance that it needs to really generate the fruit on the branches. So we have to stay connected. Hallelujah. The Bible said that he knows the ways of the righteous and extends beyond knowledge to a deep level of understanding. Now here in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. See, we need God to search us, to look upon us, and try us. Don't go on and try to hide from God, because he knows all. He sees all, and he can do all. Hallelujah. Psalm 31 and verse 7 and 8. Let's go to Psalm 31. And we're talking about the eternal tree of hope. Psalm 31. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have to parlay the scriptures so you get an understanding of what they're saying, what God is saying to us. Don't get there and look stupid. Go in the scriptures and search the scriptures. Spend some time. Psalm 31 verse 7 and 8 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. See, God knows his children. He knows all that we are dealing with. And because we are connected to him, what does he do? He allows us to experience victory. In everything that we do, he allows us to experience victory. Sometimes victory don't come at the speed that we expect. Because you know how we do. We're the ones. We got a microwave mindset. And we want everything like yesterday. We want God to do it like yesterday. Lord, we think it. Oh, God, I want healing right now. God, I want the money. I want those riches right now, Lord. You promised that you will bless me. Hallelujah. And you're not going to add no sorrows to it. So, Lord, why is it taking so long? This is how we talk to God. Most of us, we want it so quick. We can't say, Lord, I'm content with what I have right now, Lord. I don't have what I want, but I have what I need, Lord, so I'm content. So here in Genesis, let's go to Genesis. We want to hit a couple of scriptures in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and then we'll come to Genesis chapter 2 and so on, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1. This is where he starts. Verse 26. God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, I want you to see something here. God is in some way you can say he's prophesying. Because when God spoke this, he did not make man at that particular time. Okay, I hear you. Here in the book of Genesis, God is speaking to us. The Bible says in chapter 2, glory to God, God now create man. Let's start at verse 1. Thus the heaven said, and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now let's jump down to verse 7. The Bible says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. And the land and the Lord, in verse 1 he prophesied about man. But here, no. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, woman is not on the scene yet. Eve is not on the scene, but God has already prophesied that he made them male and female. A lot of people have seen this, but I thought, wow, this thing is powerful, because God spoke it before he even done it. You hear what I'm saying? This is why you can trust God. You can depend on God. You can rely on God. If God said it, he can do it. All you need to do is believe it. God said it, I believe it, and that says it. We say that, we hear that, but we have to believe it. Even before he made man, he had prophesied that he was going to make male and female. But you see here now the water, the mist goes about the earth. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now you see, he's not talking about the woman. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and a river, you hear me? You see, someone, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now, this river now was parted and become four heads, four rivers. Okay? Glory to God. Let's just move down this thing. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden and of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good. Listen to, no, he is getting ready to make him a woman. He is getting ready to make the woman that he prophesied, hallelujah, he prophesied in chapter 1 that he made them male and female. I want you to go back and study the scripture for yourself. Now God is making, God speaks it before he even do it. Hallelujah, glory to God. God knew that he was going to take me out of crack house before he brought me out of crack house. God knew that we were going to preach the gospel, all the alcohol, all the cocaine, all the marijuana, all the women that we met up with, all the men we met up with. God knew that we would be preaching the gospel. God already knew that. We're not doing something that's surprising God, because the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. Before the beginning, he knows the end. He knows what's going to happen in the end. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and of the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God called a deep sleep. Listen to me, man. And the Lord God called a sleep, deep sleep, to fall upon Adam. He slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now see what happened is here. I want you to know something here. As you go in here, when your spiritual eyes are open, you see everything. No. I want you to see something there. That Adam and Eve, how can they see the fruit on the tree if they were blind? They were blind. They could see. Understand? But now the spiritual, the intellect, the intelligence, the knowledge, the wisdom are open to the things of God. You'll see it here in the word, oh God, I tell you. See, the eternal tree of hope. When we begin to eat from this tree, when we begin to drink of this tree, you know, you squeeze a fruit and it becomes a liquid. You can drink from the fruit of the tree. Something happens in your life. So many people want to have Jesus, but they don't want to do what Jesus required for them to do. They don't want to be submitted to God. They don't want to commit to him. They don't want to obey him, but they want God to bless them and give them all of this stuff. All of this stuff that would make them look good in the presence of the people. They're not concerned with looking good before God. Lord, we're going to look at their hearts and see that, yes, this is the heart that's being changed. This is the heart that's submitted to me, that's committed to me. This is the heart that worship and bow down before me. This is the heart that will do what I say to do. It's obedient. This is what he says. Now, chapter 3. I got a lot of stuff to give you all today. And we're going to go through some stuff, and then we're going to hit some stuff again the next time I come back. Part 3. We got a lot of scripture I got. But no, the serpent was more subtle. He's smart. He's cunning. That's what subtle means. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now, he's going to go to the vessel that he can get you to. The serpent knew that God had given Adam the command. He was not present when God gave the command. I want you to know this. Back in chapter 2. Eve was not present. She was not made yet. Hallelujah, glory to God. People always blame Eve, but Eve was not present. That's why Satan came to her. She was not present when God gave the instructions to Adam. God prophesied in chapter 1 how he made them male and female, but she wasn't alive yet. She wasn't on the ground yet. Hallelujah. She was in God's mind. Listen. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch, lest you die. Now, if you go back and look at the text, God, there's no place where God said you should not touch the tree. He said, let's don't eat of the tree. But here he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. See, the first thing that the demon's going to do, demon trying to get into your intellect, trying to get into your mind, trying to get into your mind and change your mindset. He wants to change your focus. He wants to block your focus from seeing what God has already said. She's hearing all this stuff by the Spirit. Hallelujah, because she wasn't there with her husband. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, he is talking about his spiritual eyes, spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom, because they can see. They will walk around seeing stuff and touching stuff. The Bible said that when she looked, she see that the fruit was good to look upon, and that the fruit was good. It was good. Hallelujah. And the woman, listen, was when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, then she looking at the tree, natural eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes, and their eyes, listen, watch this. You got to see this. Now, and their eyes, the spiritual eyes of them, that's what he's saying, both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And the Lord, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the God. Now, you know, when you do evil, when you sin, you don't want to go to the church. You don't want to go to the church building. I know I was like that. When I was getting high and I was messing up, if I went up Friday night and Saturday night, I didn't want to go to church building. Because I knew I didn't feel right. I just didn't feel right because something wasn't right with me. You know that you have done something that you shouldn't have done. I'm just talking about me. And I'm sure if you are alive just like me and you was going to the church, you knew that when you drink some liquor, when you had some Budweiser, some cognac, or you had some corn liquor, you know, Even though you was able to drag in your car on Sunday morning just in church building, you didn't want to go. Because you had this feeling about you that people could see and they knew that you were getting drunk on Saturday night and Friday night and Saturday night. They knew that. They knew you can look and say, well, if you had been up and had sex with some man or woman, you could say, well, people can, you feel in your conscience and tell you, they know that I ran up with some sister or brother. They know I ran up. Because the Spirit does that. It convicts you. It makes you feel the guilt. You're happy doing what you're doing. The flesh is enjoying what you're doing. Maybe eating, drinking, smoking, whatever. But after you finish doing what you're doing, the Spirit man comes alive and convicts you and begin to talk to you. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 20. We give you a couple of scriptures from this year on Monday, but let's go to the Revelation chapter 20, and let's look at verse 14 and 15. Let's read this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, this is what we gotta, this is why we're living. This is why we say all the time we're living to live again. A lot of people say, well, you know, you hear the folk in the world say, well, I only got one life to live, and I'm going to live it however I want to. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be amazing when he calls you up off that ground for the second death. Hallelujah. Because your name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You had your good time on the earth running around, and you didn't want to repent. You didn't want to turn from the sin. Because what the sin that Satan has been showing you felt good to your body. It felt good to your mind. So you didn't want to change. You was comfortable doing what you were doing. You were fitting in with the crowd. My pastor always said, don't follow the crowd, follow the crowd. But we want to go where the crowd is going. You ought to be going to the side where the crowd is, because the crowd is leading you to the promised land with milk and honey. Life everlasting, but you don't want to. He said, no. Listen. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to this book here. Let's go to John chapter 5. I want to hit one scripture there, and then we're going to go over to Ephesians. Ephesians, John chapter 5. Jesus speaks so strong. Because he keeps us, he gives us what we need so we can live. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us what we need so we can live. And all we got to do is get to that tree. Get to that tree and be planted by rivers of living water. Once you get there, see this book here? It's rivers of living water. When you open this book every day, you say, I don't feel like opening the book. I don't feel like studying. I don't feel like reading. Open the book. And so you start, you go over the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, and you start going over some chapters, something will start to happen to you like it happened to me. Nobody's exempt. Once we start studying that word of God, the peace and the joy that comes over us. Hallelujah. You are all upset. You were all bent out of shape. But the moment you start studying the word of God, you start putting in some truth. Hallelujah. The peace that surpasses all understanding begins to overtake you. You hear what I'm saying? This is why we should study every day. I don't care if you're going to preach or don't preach. If you're going to sing or don't sing, yes, open the book. Read three or four chapters. Tell yourself, let me see how much chapters I can study today. Let me see how much chapters I can study today. And once you go over one, you say, well, this is sounding so good, feels so good. Let me read another one. Let me study another one. And as you go on, you'll find out that there's a peace, a joy that comes over you. You say, man, I didn't know. And find out, then you end up, you read 10 chapters, 12 chapters, 13 chapters. You almost finish the whole epistle, the whole book. Listen. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Hallelujah. I like how the Holy Spirit treats us. You know, you don't have to write no notes. Just follow him. This is Jesus speaking. John chapter 5 and verse 29. This is what he says. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. You can read this whole chapter. It's so beautiful. You can start at verse 19. After, it's so beautiful. But listen to what Jesus says. I shall come forth there that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And here he's talking about judgment. He's talking about on that day of judgment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you know that if you're drinking from that tree of life, you're coming over to the resurrection of life. You're coming to the resurrection of life, not to the resurrection of judgment, because you're drinking from Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, the water I give you will never thirst. The woman at the well said, give me, sir. Said, give me that water. But she didn't want that. She wanted the water so she wouldn't have to come to the well anymore and be ridiculed because she was sleeping with so many other people's husbands. That's all she wants. But she said, give me that water, sir. And said, Jesus said, the water I give you, the water I give you, you'll never thirst. The water I give to you, you will not hunger. We need to eat of Jesus, drink of Jesus. So we always be filled. We always got something to give to somebody. Always got a word to share with somebody. A kind word. We're not all ourselves. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's touch that one there quick. Hebrews chapter 9. And then we'll come back to 7. Hebrews. Then we'll go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Let's see what we got here. Yeah. And it is appointed unto men once to die at But after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. You have to come up off that ground in order to be judged. He's not going to judge you in the grave. You're not going to be judged in the grave. It's just like you go to the courthouse because you have a problem. The judge is not going to say, go back home. I'm going to judge you from your house. No, he's going to judge you right there in the courthouse. And if he finds you guilty, he's going to send you. He's going to condemn you to time. He's going to give you some time. And if you're really into the serious case, he might condemn you to life, depending on the crime. You understand? So God has to, he's going to allow you to come up, bring you out of that ground. And if you have done good, you're going to come up to righteousness. And if you have done bad, you're going to come up to condemnation, to judgment. Hallelujah. So he says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. See, this is redemption. Hallelujah. If we live this life, we're going to look for him. We're living to live again. So that when he comes, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Enter into my peace. Enter my joy. Hallelujah. So we're living to live again. We must live to live again. How do you live to live again? I'm glad you asked that question. You got to be obedient to the words of God. You got to be, we have to be obedient to the instructions of God. God is giving us instructions every day on this. Yesterday, I had several people throughout the world and the United States that was giving me thumbs up on the message that the bishop and apostle delivered yesterday. People are getting what we're saying. Some people come on and jump off because they can't get it. They have expectation to hear this body or hear that body or see this body or see that body. And if they don't, they jump off. We're not concerned about them. Let them jump off. We're concerned about the one that God has called, because he said no one can come except the Father draw them. And the one that God has called go hear the word, receive the word, and go activate the word. Some people going to preach it in their own churches because they know this is the truth. This is not a compromising doctrine. This is the very same doctrine that Jesus preached. The very same doctrine that the apostles preached. Listen to what he says. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I said 7, but I mean 4.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Deacon. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ has an allowance. Some people have more than some. Some people need more grace than some, because they keep messing up all the time. So he extends more grace to somebody that is constantly messing up. They don't want to, but every time they look around, they say, I'm not going to do this. I could not be here today if God didn't extend that kind of grace to me. Because I was to say, look, man, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to get high. No, I'm not going to do it anymore. God, you know I'm not going to do it anymore. And then I find myself doing the same exact thing that I said I wasn't going to do. Why? Because I needed grace. And God said, son, I'm going to extend grace to you, because I've already placed a calling on your life. Now, son, I've placed a calling on your life. In this message, Paul focused on God's gift that builds up the body of Christ, the church. The New Testament lists areas of spiritual giftedness. Five times. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, he started verse 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. And verse 28 to 30. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Each list presents different gifts and emphasis. God knows exactly what he's doing. He don't have to wait on man or anybody, any prophet or prophetess or evangelist or pastor or teacher to tell him what to do. God knows exactly what you need, what I need, what we need for the body of Christ. He knows exactly what we need. When we start to preach and we start to elaborate, God knows what the body needs, because the Holy Spirit scans he's the GPS that goes through the crowd. He knows what everybody needs that's sitting in the congregation. He knows everybody who is listening on the radio all over the world, what they need. Even those that are going to come on at a later date, he knows what they need to hear when they say, well, let me tune into Blog Talk Church, Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. Let me check in there, because those people over there, they teach the truth. They're not about getting rich. They're not about making money. They're about winning souls, and they want to put something on the airwaves that can convict somebody by the Spirit of God. Because it's not us. We're not the judge. We're not the one that convicts. It's the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that convicts people. Until the Word of God gets and cuts your heart, you'll never come to him. He said no one would come except he draw them. People are busy living their lives. They're having a good time, so they think. But the good time that they're having is a deceptive good time. Because after they're having this good time that they think they're having, guess what they have? They're heading straight to hell if they don't repent. People tell you no. Even with this abortion stuff that's going on, they're arguing with God, saying, this is my body. You can't tell me what to do with it. The women are telling you this. The people of the United States and the world are telling you, this is their body. They can do what they want to. If they want to get pregnant and then kill the baby, and then they get mad with the politicians that are being led by God to try to help them to live, to go to heaven and don't go to hell, and they get mad with the politicians. They're coming against the women's right and want to tell the women how to live their body, but they realize that there's a day coming. It's called Judgment Day that's coming. And nobody can escape it. Not the cat, not the dog. Nobody can escape Judgment Day. Judgment Day is coming. And those that refuse to repent, going to experience the wrath of God. Because let me tell you something. Hell is boiling hot. And it's enlarging itself because why? The world is getting wickeder and wickeder. So hell is enlarging itself to accommodate all the wickedness that's in the world. Hell is. Listen to what Paul is saying. The writer here. Saying here. Here. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking with Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. No. Christ went up to heaven. Hallelujah. And now he that ascended, that went up, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He went to hell. And you hear people say, he went to hell and took the keys. Because Satan, the thief, took the keys of life and death. That then belongs to him. So Jesus went on and took those. He descended first to the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Listen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 11, hold your finger there in Ephesians and go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Listen to what it says. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 11, which also says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Listen, Revelation chapter 1 and 7. He's coming back the same way. Hallelujah. This is where we get to. This is where we have a hope, people. He didn't leave us forever. He's coming back. Why? Because he's coming back to receive you and I. He's coming back to receive you and I. You hear what I'm saying? He's coming back to receive you and I. Are you living for him to come for you? Think about it. Are you living a life that when he comes, he'll come and receive you? He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Listen to it again. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that hath overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Listen to God. Listen to Jesus speak. He tell you who he is. He's coming back. We have a hope, people. No one needs to get weary and well doing. You're going to reap as you faint now. Just continue doing what God called you to do. You're going to lose some things in this world. But remember, you haven't brought anything in this world. We have not brought anything in this world. So listen to me. You can't carry anything from this world. What you came in here with, you're going up with. You came in here with your body. And the body is going to go back up with you, back to the dirt. Back to the dirt. People have Rolex watch on their hand, diamond rings, They got their wedding band and all their stuff on their hand. Gold breastplates. Got anchor bracelets. All this stuff they got on. And they think that they go somewhere with that. You know, the great thing is the fire. Because when they get to go and dig up that earth again, guess what they do? They find gold teeth and gold rings and gold earrings and all type of stuff in there. You can't take it anywhere. You don't got that stuff in here with you. Why you gotta bury yourself, get buried with all that stuff? Man, look, where you gonna bury me? Make sure you take the gold off of me. If I have a nice watch, man, don't put it in the ground. Give it to some, give it to the poor. Why you wanna be buried with it and all that stuff? Man, just leave that stuff alone. You go to, if you having to go to heaven, you're not even gonna know your husband when you or your wife when you get there. Because we all gonna be brothers and sisters. All gonna be brothers and sisters. Listen, let's go back in here. We're going to do this text here, and then we're going to hit maybe two more scriptures, and then we're going to turn this over to James Washington if he's on the line, and then we'll come back another time and do a part three. We got a lot to do in this here. This is where the Lord going to keep me. He has me here for a little. We're here in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Glory to God. He went down in the lower part of the earth. Here. Yeah. And he gave some apostles, verse 11, and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See that the work that God gives, the gift that God has given to us, the ones that we call ourselves ambassadors, we call ourselves teachers, and we call ourselves prophets, and every kind of thing we call ourselves. It's not for us to go there and make money. It's for us to edify the body of, in other words, to build up the body of Christ, to inform the body of Christ in the way that they must live in order to live again. Hallelujah. Not to get them all excited and say, well, oh, yeah, you're doing good. No. Give them the word that convict them. Give them the word that convict them according to God's instructions to live an obedient life to him. Not to your prophet, not to your bishop, not to your apostle, but to God, because he's the one that's going to judge the quick and the dead. We're forgetting that. You want people to give you hallelujahs and praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. No, God wants you to live, to teach them how to live holy. Hear what he says. Chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 11. Let's go back here. Paul's description here of particular roles of offices in the church as resembles his description in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. But includes additional roles and does not include others. These roles are for advancing God's work in the world through the church. You see, we have to be taught and we have to teach people how to live this thing so that it's not only for them but for those their family members, for their friends, for their co-workers. See, we always say that change people. Corrupt people with corrupt people. Look at our nation. We always put something here with our nation. Look at our nation. I love America. I just give up my citizenship of my country and just receive citizenship of the United States of America. Because, you know, my life wasn't always perfect. It wasn't always heading the perfect way. And I took my time instead of applying for citizenship because I was facing a lot of stuff. And I let God work it out. And I become a citizen of the United States. But look and see how the presidents and the Congress and the Senate and all of those that in authority, this earthly authority, are leading the nations. Not only our nation, but they're leading other nations. Because other nations are leading us because they look to the United States like she's the mother. Like she's the father to them. And whatever we do, they do. When we say same-sex marriage, you know, they always had men sleeping with men and women sleeping with men. There always was. But when we say it was okay for same-sex marriage and men to have men coming up, everybody break up, Britain break up, Germany break up, Italy break up, Brazil break up, the Caribbean, everybody come up full about. No, they don't care. They go to the shopping malls where the little kids are and all of them. They're kissing one another and on the television now. If you can't turn on a regular family show, somebody was asking last night on the internet, where is the the family shows that we had, all these black family shows, how others had the Cosby and the Jeffersons and all these kind of shows that was really expounding on how the black family was trying to keep the family together. But now they come up with shows now, they're showing that the family is separating. They don't want you to have that unity, because that's what God requires from us, to have the unit, one unit, a family unit. But now they bring division, and then they're showing they're taking to the schools where they have homosexual and drag queens going to the schools. They say, well, we don't want prayer. We don't want prayer in school, because if you have prayer in school, it's going to offend all the other people that don't want to pray. But what about you bringing drag queens and homosexuals in the schools, and they got books in schools that are talking all about Satanism and drag queens and homosexual and all this stuff. You bring it into the schools. What about my grandchildren and my great grandchildren that are trying to serve God and want to get a better understanding of God? And you bring all that stuff. You're not thinking about the other people. You're thinking about yourself. Your nasty, filthy self. And God's going to judge you for that. Because you're a leader, and you ought to be following with God, because you're only in position because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob put you there, allow you to be there as leader. But you say you're a Christian, but you're not living a Christian life. Christian just means that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. But you're not following Jesus Christ. You're following Satan. And using the name Christian as a host and a get over. Get over. But guess what happened? Instead of getting over, you're going under. Because it's happening soon. Let me tell you something. It's going to happen soon. Nobody don't have to hurt nobody. God's going to do it because the wrath of God going to do what you got. We don't want you to go fight people. We want you to pray for these people. Pray that God brings change, that he convict the world. He convict the world. He convict the nations, that they begin to bow. It was too late for Sodom and Gomorrah. But God says it's not too late for America. It's not too late for Germany. It's not too late for China and Japan and Taiwan and Canada. It's not too late for the Caribbean. It's not too late for the world. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. Jesus, help us. He says, these gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, or the equipping or building up of the body. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we got to come to that place where we understand who Christ really is. The fullness of who he is. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Ghost. We must have the same mind. We are one body. Many men with one body, but we must have the same mind. We must think the same way. React the same way. Excuse me. You got some people that call themselves Christians. They say they're believers, and they don't even in the church building, they don't want to sit down next to their sister or brother in Christ. You got some pastors that only talk to certain people in the church. Some pastors, some leaders, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, some prophets, some apostles and bishops in the church building. They only talk to certain, we call it cliques. They got cliques in the church that they only talk to. And if you don't meet their standards, they would ostracize you. They'll look down on you like they all got in a bag of chips in the Pepsi-Cola. But judgment is coming for you, Pastor Bishop. Judgment is coming for you with your doctorate degree. Judgment is coming for you. For looking down on the people of God. Remember the Levite and the priest? When they passed over the man that was hurt on the side of the street? Glory to God. Keep your finger there. Keep your finger there in Ephesians. Lord, you're taking me someplace today. You're doing something with me today. Oh, Jesus. You are so sweet. You are so sweet, so sweet, so sweet. Oh, my Jesus. He is so sweet. When you allow him to use you, people, allow God to use you. Don't get to that place that you believe that you got it together. I am still learning. The Lord knows I am still learning. Hallelujah. And I need more. I need to be fed more. I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty. This rich man, priest in Levi, when they see the man on the side of the street that was broken, beat it up, busted, what did they do? They cross over to the other side. They don't want to have anything to do with him. Listen, they're just leaving the church building, the synagogue. What they do? They go over on the other side of the road. They look at him. And then cross over to the other side. What is God calling you to do? Is he calling you to help or look down on? People are busy, busy looking down on people. They're not helping. And they have what they need to help with. Listen to what he says. Till we come, till we all, not some of us, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we really understand, that we really know who he is. Because so many people know of him, but they don't know who he is. They don't have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slate or tricks of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. We have to be careful. God is saying we have to be careful. Watch and pay attention to what's being said. I heard Creflo Dollar the other night on YouTube was saying to the people. He said, I come tonight to apologize to you all for the way I've been teaching. No, he said, I just come to admit my fault or something like that. But then he says, I'm not going to apologize. That's what I was teaching. And the people just, oh, that's good, Pastor, that's good. Well, if you've been teaching wrong, you have to go down on your face before God and God keep it and say, look, I'm sorry, help me to do what's right under God. I've been deceiving you for 20 years. When he was there, preaching a prosperity message, but not preaching the truth. And you know, we always say here on Blog Talk Radio that a half-truth is a lie. We have to listen. This is what we are teaching. We say, open your Bible. Follow us on the Bible. Take notes. Go back and listen. Paul says in verse 11, he refers to those who are sent out by Christ to speak and act with special authority, talking about the apostles. The prophets refers to those who are designated by God to speak on his behalf. Ephesians chapter 2 and 20. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. Evangelists refers to those who proclaim the truth of the gospel and call others to live by Jesus' standards. This is what the evangelist is supposed to do. Acts chapter 21, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 5. Pastors refers to those who care for or protect the church, the people of God. Since the Greek word used here, paimen, literally means shepherd, and is often translated as such, this role corresponds with the New Testament portrayal of the church of God, the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The teachers indicate those who faithfully pass on the teaching of Christ and the apostles. See, Christ and the apostles preach the same word. The apostles preach the same thing that he, because he was their teacher. He was the principal to them. He was their principal. He was their schoolmaster. Hallelujah. and he taught them and he sent them out to preach the same thing, especially through explaining or applying scriptures, Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, what the ministry refers to act of service. We are called to work the ministry. We are called to act, do, not like a movie star. We are called to do what thus says the Lord. Be in action, a minister in action and motion. We are not stagnant. Hallelujah. Building up the body of Christ refers to strengthening the church and helping it grow. The unity of the faith, compare Ephesians chapter 3 to 6. If you look back up there, Ephesians chapter 3 to 6, it says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby we, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is, in other words, other ages, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the of his promise in Christ by the gospel. See, Paul now began to tell them this thing before time. They didn't know, only the Jews how to understand or knew about it, but they didn't believe. So now it came to the Gentiles, the ones who were hungry and thirsty. Paul took the word to them. And we're called to take the word of God to everybody. Not somebody, not to pick and choose. Let's go a little further. He says, knowledge. Knowledge indicates knowledge that comes from experience. Knowing Christ. Not just knowing about him. Remember, I say that. Sons of God in Romans chapter 1 and 3. Let's look at that quick. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh. And you can continue to read that, but we don't want to go. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah, glory to God. So we have a hope. We know that Jesus is not in the grave, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Listen, we don't stop. We got this thing from God by the Spirit. This thing is filling us. It's causing us to bubble. Hallelujah. Infants figuratively describe those who are immature in the faith. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 7, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Wind of teaching refers to false teaching, which leads people astray. So this is why when we hear people teaching, don't just jump up because somebody's hooping and hollering and they're snorting and then they're crying and walking over the pews and falling on the ground. Look and say if what they're teaching is related to the true doctrine of Christ Jesus, the apostles' doctrine, if it's coming out of here, Holy Ghost doctrine, if you can see it in the 66 books. People are saying all kind of stuff. I got people now saying that Jesus is not God. Jesus is not the Son of God. And it said that the argument between white and black and yellow and green and all this kind of stuff. But they're not speaking the truth. You have to go in the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow him to speak to our hearts. Now, speaking the truth in love, Paul encouraged believers to provide guidance with gentleness, keeping in mind the recipient's best interests. Now we got to... We're not trying to push people to the ground. We're trying to lift people up. This is our commission. He said you have been reconciled to reconcile. So you have been brought up to go lead somebody out. We're not here to beat somebody because we've been teaching, we've been taught for a while. So now we have been teaching for a while. And we know a little bit more than what we know back then. Don't look down on anybody because you know two or three scriptures. Lift them up. They're babies in Christ. Lift them up and show them the way. Let somebody show us the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, understand that they are babes in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm giving you a lot of scripture. I got a lot more, but 40 more, 45 more scriptures to give you, but we got to go in there and live it. He says, the whole body, the church, is one unified group directed by Christ to accomplish his purpose. Yet, there are many parts to it. Paul uses this metaphor to explain how many people with different roles and gifts can work together in unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 20. Sometimes it's hard for us to work together. You know why? Because a lot of leaders, because especially when they get a doctorate degree, they'll emphasize more on the doctorate degree than on the word of God. They want you to know that they have a doctorate degree that they study for four or five months to get. Some of them just get 34 weeks and they pay $500 and get the doctorate degree. But they want you to know that they have a doctorate degree. But they're not focusing on the truth of God's word. They're not focusing on living holy, righteous, walking up right before God's people. Because the people are watching us. They hear you. They hear us. They hear us. Oh, yeah, we know that they can preach the gospel. But are they living the gospel? You know, when they look at you, you tell them how to fish. But they realize you're not fishing. You're just telling them how to fish. Do you hear me today? You tell them how to fish, how to live holy, but you're not living holy. That's what I'm saying. How are you going to tell them? Oh, you got to live holy. You can't fornicate. You can't commit adultery. You can't lie. You can't steal. You can't sleep with another man or sleep with another woman. You know you're a woman. You're a man. You can't commit homosexual acts and lesbian acts and all this stuff. You can't gamble. You can't do drugs and drink and get drunk and cuss and stuff. And when they hear you, they see you cussing people out. You want to fight. Soon you get somebody say something, you want to take a baseball bat and knock somebody's head off. You want to stab somebody. You want to kill somebody. But you're telling them don't do these things. They're watching us. You may be the only Bible. We may be the only Bible that some people see. Can they read us? Can they read us and say, yes, that's truly a man of God? Can they read us and say, I want to follow that man? I want to follow you. Continuing his emphasis on unity, Paul urges believers to abandon former ways of living that have nothing to do with Christ. He reminds them of their previous life apart from God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. And exhort them to discard the old self, since they have been made new in Christ. Verse 20 to 24. As members of Christ's body, believers are called to show integrity, kindness, and grace. They must overcome bitterness and anger and learn to forgive. 25 to 32. It's hard for us. We get mad at people, and we forget that we are God's children. And if we are his children, we ought to be taking on his DNA. We ought to be taking on his attributes, learn how to love, how to forgive, how to extend mercy and grace, have compassion for other believers and unbelievers, for those that are outside the household of faith, a longer walk, just as believers are to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. They are not to walk in the ways of their former life. The believer's new life in Christ involves change in direction and conduct. How are you conducting yourself? Where are we going when we leave the church building? When summertime and springtime come here, how do we act? Do we let our head down and become like the world? He talks about fertility, their mind. When they live apart from God, the Gentiles entail way of thinking was ineffectual, destroyed by the powers of sin. See, when we disconnect ourselves from God, that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. When we disconnect from God, you hear me say it all the time, we find out that we don't have that spiritual look. We don't have that glow about us when we disconnect. Because he is the vine and we're the branches. We begin to wither. You may say, well, I feel healthy, I feel good. I can sweat, all this stuff you're saying, but on the inside you, I hear Pastor say, she uses the word to you, we're like whitewashed tombs or whitewashed sepulcher. On the inside, we don't feel it. We don't feel the glory of who he is on the inside. Because most of the time, we look the same on the outside. But it's on the inside. Because until the inside begins to glow, nobody will see it on the outside. The inside has to glow with a passion for Christ. The mercy that he could give to us. Compassion for one another. Loving to help my brother and sister. Alienated. Verse 18, this is what he says. Let's get over there. Let's go back to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of in his measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, when we're working together, we begin to increase. When we're working together, we increase. A lot of times we have a blog talk with it. We invite people to come and preach here to use their skill. And at the last minute, they got a tendency to say, well, I can't do it. This come on, that come up. But suppose God would use the same, act the same way we act. As people that he gave us a measure of faith. That we have an excuse not to preach the gospel like you're doing apostle or bishop something around. You're doing us around. No, it's God, because God called you. I don't call nobody to preach on blog talk, really, unless God says so. I don't call nobody. Because I have enough in me. You see it? I got enough in me that I can preach. I can teach all day. I got 36 books. I don't need no whole lot. This is enough. Open the book in and start preaching. Remember I told you when I was in Africa, I had a sermon that I had written for about 2 or 3 days. And I thought it was going to be so good. It's going to be awesome when I get to Africa. And when I get there, the sermon was gone. God shifted because he didn't want me to depend on David. He wanted me to depend on him, on the Messiah, on the Savior. A lot of time we are stressing like, huh, oh, man, I got this together. I got that together. I can do this. Man, it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about him. Let go and let God. We say that candidly. But let go and let God. Listen to what he says. Oh, my God, I thank you, Holy Spirit. Ooh, Jesus. Listen. Alienated, verse 18 says, let's go to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We're talking about eternal tree of hope. See, when you drink from this tree, when you're planted by this tree, you're not blind. You have spiritual sight. Your spiritual sight has been opened, uncovered, so you can see. You have strength in your body, natural body and spiritual body. So you can help somebody. You can encourage somebody. You can push somebody farther. You can help somebody to get to the place that they need to get, be in Christ. Listen to what he says. Alienated, Gentiles were not only excluded from Israel, chapter 2, verse 12. They were cut off from the very life of God. Their ignorance of God and his word led to enmity with God, chapter 2, verse chapter 13, resulting in the need of reconciliation. Hardness of their hearts, the Gentiles' exclusion from the life of God resulted not only from their ignorance, but from their willful and stubborn rejection of him. You see, people today are going through some stuff. Bishop Apostles, folk are going through some stuff, and you know why they're going through? And you know why they're hurting? They're going through the stuff that they're going through, even as they think they're having a good time in the world, because they're bluntly rejecting God. Not the God of this world. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're bluntly, right out, rejecting him. They'll tell you to your face they don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. You evangelize them and trying to show them the way, and they want to fight with you. Spit on you and all kind of stuff, because they want you to fight. And the moment you begin to fight with them, they say, see, I tell you that they were no Christian. The moment you put your hand like Cassius Clay and you want to suck them in the mouth, you don't turn and get them the other side, the other jaw, the other cheek, like Jesus says. They say, well, I told you he wasn't a Christian. I told you he wasn't a Christian. But that's what they want to do. They want to force you into a fight with them because they hate your Savior so much. They dislike the love that Christ come to give. They don't want to hear it. They want to see it. Let me give you a couple more verses here. Here. Gave themselves over refers to rejecting God and his ways. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 to 32. Remember, here he allowed them to do whatever felt good to them in Romans chapter 1. Men were men and women were women. And he turned them over to be a reprobate mind, good for nothing, worthless, to become worthless. Learn Christ refers not only to conversation, to the Christian faith, but also to the activity of learning about Christ. We have to have this hunger and this thirst for righteousness that we want more. We want more of God, not like we arrive. Apostles and bishops said they study. They sit at night, studying from early in the night time to early in the morning. How do they come on Blog Talk Radio and preach with such tenacity? Because they spend time with the Lord. Tired, should be sleeping, but they come on to break bread. If indeed the Greek expression used here, I, or gi, is sometimes translated using a conditional statement, but it actually implies confidence. Paul's point is that his audience does know and follow Christ. The same expression begins in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 22 says that the former way of life, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. See, you got to put off. We can't keep holding on to the way of life, the old way of life. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It refers to life under the influence of the evil one, the desires of the flesh and the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. The old man, a personification of the former way of life before falling Christ, which was self-destructive. You know, I tell you about a story all the time. When I was living the lifestyle of the world, man, I was going down. I was thinking about this thing last night as I was laying on the bed and going through some of these scriptures. And I was listening. I said, wow, Lord, I'm so grateful. Because so many people that I used to get high with, we used to smoke together. Even some of the women that I had sex with, that I was committing adultery with, they died. They're gone, young. They haven't even lived to see 50 years old. And I just passed 73. Just celebrated 73. And I said, but God kept me. I've heard this morning that they're saying, this doctor is saying that on YouTube, and he said, look, He said, I'm going to get in trouble for this. He said, but I've discovered that a lot of people that are dying now that had the COVID-19 vaccine and boosters are dying because the vaccine now is causing the boosters and all this stuff is causing a disturbance in their blood. And it's causing the heart to malfunction. And people are dying. But they don't, the president, the vice president, the Congress and all, they don't want to talk about it. Because that's what they're planning. Bill Gates and all of them. They're planning this stuff that they want to kill a third of the earth. It's not a half of the earth. They want to kill a third of the earth so they'll be in control. Then they want to tap the women's wombs. They want to tie the women fallopian tubes so they can't have babies. So they control the world. They're going to control your money, your lifestyle, and everything. These people are wicked people. So let me tell you something. What I'm saying is that we got to stay ready because Christ, the Savior, is going to show up at any time. And if he don't show up at the time that you expect, guess what happens? His wrath is going to come over the earth. And a lot of these deceivers is going to be taken out. A lot of them going to take it out because God says not his desire that any should perish. But these deceivers, they rejected him. And even though he is sending love over the earth, they don't want his love. They don't want his grace and his mercy, so he has to destroy them. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. He said if I find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't destroy it, but he couldn't find 10. He had to destroy it. And the way America is going, it seems like he ain't going to find 10. But let me finish this scripture here quick. Here he says, verse 24. Put on a new man. This is what he talk about here. Verse 24. Hallelujah. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He just said what we have to be. Why? Because he's holy. All this is all we should be working for. We should be working, pushing to become more holy, more perfect, more upright, more being right standing with God. We all be pushing ourselves, looking at ourselves and say, What did I do wrong yesterday? What I didn't do right yesterday? What did I do wrong? And what I didn't do right? And ask God to help us in that area. He said, put on a new man as in verse 22. Paul uses the imagery of changing one's clothing to describe believers' responsibility to actively participate in Christ's transformative work in their lives. We have to get to this place where we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to change us. Because no matter how much we try to change ourselves, we can't do it. Remember David said in Psalm 51? He said, created me a new heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because David was doing all that he could humanly do. He was doing all that he could humanly do, but he couldn't fix his own heart. And he couldn't fix his own spirit. A lot of times we're trying to do it by dressing up the outside while the inside is crying out for Jesus. Want Jesus, but we are busy trying to please the Jeffersons and the Joneses. We're making the outside look pretty. Let's go to another one. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, my God, my God. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. The Lord says, look, all lives are mine, or all souls. The lives or the souls of the Father and Son alike are mine. The person sinning or the soul that sinneth shall die. He said that all, not some, all souls are his. This is why we have to share this word to everybody. In the King James Version, he says, behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so also, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The sword that said it shall die. Verse 18 says, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. He robbed, cursed. Here he said, look, all are mine, because all souls belong to Yahweh. He can judge them according to his own standards, not a standard that is externally imposed by the people who feel his standards is unfair. God works how he wants to work. The person sinning will die. The statement here and similar remark in Jeremiah 31 and 30 offered a contrast to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, which declared that God, that Yahweh, will punish sin across generations, sometimes delaying judgment for future generations. The idea of punishment across generations was well established in the culture of the biblical world. The disciples questioned to Jesus about the man born blind in John chapter 9, verse 2. This concept corresponds with Yahweh's great patience as he withholds punishment and hopes for Israel and Judah to repent. A delay in full-blown judgment, however, did not imply that earlier generations went unpunished or that the current generation is without guilt. God is not going to free anyone that refused to repent. He's not going to free anyone. He said, if you live righteous and don't sin, you will be judged righteously. But if you live sinful and don't do any righteous stuff, you'll be judged according to your sin. But if you do righteous and you repent, he will cancel your sin debt. That is why we go to him in repentance and we ask his forgiveness. We ask his mercy. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. Listen to what he says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know that when we check ourselves, we are checking ourselves so that we wouldn't wreck ourselves. How about we check ourselves? Not so that we would look good. We want to look good, but we want to look good before the Father. We don't want to look good for man to say, oh, that's a good preacher over there. While you're looking good on the outside, the inside is messed up, and God's not going to receive it because he says man looks at the outside, but God looks on the inside. He looks at the inside. This is what we got to understand. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, King James. This is what he says. Matthew chapter 10. Verse, Jesus speaking. Verse 28. Let's start at verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Listen to what Jesus is saying. See, don't you worry about people. Hallelujah. Here in this book, let's go up to verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciples. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. See, we got to take on the same characteristics of Jesus. We got to take on the same attributes of Jesus. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub a devil, how much more shall they call them of the household? If you are part of who Jesus called, expect persecution. Expect to be ridiculed. Fear not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. everything is going to be revealed. You know, sometimes I hear people say, you can buy some land secretly because you don't want your neighbor to know that you purchased the land. Even you go buy a new car and you say, I don't want nobody to know I'm getting a new car. I want my neighbor to know. Well, when you bring it home and put it in the garage, you got to come out the garage. You might bring it home in the nighttime and end up in there sleeping. But when you come out the garage, guess they're going to know you buy a new car. When you buy the land, you got to work the land. You're going to either till the land, or you're going to build something on the land. People are going to know the land is yours. Nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. People go and they're sneaking around, men with women and women with men. And God is so knowledgeable, so incredible, that he'll let a married man or a married woman going out with another married man or another single man or another single woman. And he will let them get pregnant. And guess what he do? They were thinking they're getting away from their partner. The partner don't know that they're slipping and dipping. And guess what happened? They'll get pregnant. And the one don't want to get to with it. The man says, hey, you should get an abortion. I'm going to pay for the abortion. The woman said no. She wants to keep that child. That may be her first child. So I'm not going to get rid of it. And the man will try all he wants to try to get rid of that child. But God is letting the child come into the world because they're going to expose. Like David. The child only lasts for a little while. Then God kills the child, puts fever on the child because it was a bastard child. Then David had another child. Children from her. He had Solomon and a couple more from her. Everything that hidden will be revealed. Let me give you a little bit more. Hallelujah. We don't have a lot of people online today, but that's fine. We are fine. We're just putting this word on here, the Lord instruct me. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Listen to God speaking here to us. Sometimes you're laying on your bed. Sometimes you're in the bathroom. You're taking a shower, whatever. And you'll hear words that God wants for the people. Give it to them. Write it down so you don't forget. Sometimes I have to open my computer to the note because I don't have a piece of paper or pen. And I have to type it into the note on the notepad on the computer because I want to remember what God says. And a lot of times it's for me first. Mostly it's for me first. Even when I'm teaching, it's for me first. God is convicting my heart to do better, to live better, to be the man that he called me to be. Hallelujah. Because why? The walk that I have decided, God decided for me to walk. It's not an easy walk. And I'm being tested and tried every day to slip and dip. I'm just telling you that. I call it slip and dip. Even at 73 years old, the devil still wants me to slip and dip away from Christ. So he can have me in hell with him and his agents. Burn and sulfur, fire and brimstone. And I got to scream out in the night, devil, you're a liar. Oh, man, she said, what? I said, because that Satan is putting thoughts. Even though I'm laying in this bed, he's still bringing thoughts in my mind. Be truth. Be truth with the attack. Verse 28, the verse I want to give. He said, fear not, then which kill the body. Not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Fear the Lord. Excuse me. The God of heaven and earth, fear him. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See? Satan not destroying the soul or the body in hell. God is, when he condemns you to your sin caused you to end up in hell. Let me give you one more scripture and I'm going to get out of here. Let's go to 1 Timothy. I got so much, Lord, you've given so much. 1 Timothy, this is the last, very last scripture we're going to give you today. And then when we come back, I don't know when we're going to come back on this. Because I usually go as a spirit leader. I don't run anything. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last book in chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 6, and just let's do two verses here, and we'll get out. And here, Paul is saying here, verse 16. He said, which in his times, he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate and King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor hath can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one. The only one that is holy. The only one that is truly me. Righteous, patient, faithful, that loves unconditionally. He's the only one. But God wants us to have such a desire for him, to live in this frame of mind, to obey him, that he has put all these scriptures in here. You can go back and read this whole chapter here for yourselves. Okay? Read it for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a powerful, powerful scripture for the believer, for the leader. How we got to carry ourselves. Hallelujah. Don't play with your soul. Because the soul you lose may be yours. Don't think about man. Think about yours first. Because you can't help nobody until you're right. It's just somebody said, how can you feed somebody when you're hungry? Get something in your belly. Put something in your belly. You can't give nobody this stuff until you get it in you. Got to get it in your heart first. And then you got to show people how to live right. See, you go down to the river, you don't have no bait, you can't fish. You just got a reel. You just got a rod and reel. Fish is not going to bite an empty hook. So when you get some worms and put on the hook and you start catching fish and showing them how to put the worm on, guess what happens? You teach them how to fish. Well, that's what happens when you get the word in your belly and you begin to live. When you're living, you're throwing the light out, the line out. This is what your life does. Your life is like the reel. It's like the rod and the reel. And the bait is the word. Because now you got the word inside your belly. It's in your heart. Never said that word that I have that hid in my heart that won't sin against you. So you got the word in your heart, and now you can let it come out your mouth and go into somebody's gate. But not only that, now your lifestyle, you're fishing. Your lifestyle is telling the people that you're a fisherman for God. You're a fisherman for God because you're living now. You are living what you're preaching. So somebody said, well, I hear you, preacher. I see you, preacher. I want to be like you, preacher. Teach me how to be like you. You can say, well, I've been teaching all day long. I've been giving you the word all day long. I've been showing you how to live the word. This is what it's all about. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. What a word that you have given us. And even more scriptures that we would list, we was reading. We was picking up more scriptures as we were going along. God, we just thank you. We just praise you, O God. Lord, we honor you for loving us the way you love us. In spite of how we are, you still love us. And you give us more than we deserve. Father, we ask your blessing. We ask your mercy. And we ask your grace. Rain on us today, Lord. Rain on us today. Rain mercy on us. Rain love, rain compassion on us, God. And let us hear more from heaven. And God, we ask you to bless us. Bless us to hear more. Bless us to love more. Bless us to become who you have called us to be. Father, we are not proclaiming to be there yet, but we want to be there. We want to be in that realm of holiness like never before. Oh, God, that when men and women see us and hear us, they will say, for real, that we have been with you. This is all we're asking, Father. We're asking for you to show us, God. Teach us. Teach us to adhere to your word. And as you do this, Lord, we're going to love on you even more. Because we know that you're the only one that can do for us what no one else can do. And we thank you again. In Jesus' holy name. We don't know if Bishop is on the line, but we're going to call him anyway. Bishop, are you there?
I'm here, Apostle. Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Hallelujah. Glory
to God. Good morning,
sir.
Hallelujah. Come on in.
Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for pulling me into this line today. Father God, let me hear this message, powerful message. Thank you, Apostle, for delivering the powerful message. Oh, God. Now, Father God, I ask you to touch many, many hearts and minds as I ask people to receive you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus. Oh, Father, it just fills my heart when I can do this and people accept it. I, being human, I want to know if they accept it. But you know, Father, it's all that counts. You know. But I ask everyone in the sound of my voice, if you are able to respond and say that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it would make not only me, but everybody on Block Talk Radio happy, because we'll know that there are souls that have been saved, you know. And as the word says, if you've never been saved, okay, and if you have been a fallen brother and sister, a prodigal son and daughter, we want to come back home. But God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to renew our commitment to him. Hallelujah. And I say we because we're brothers and sisters, and I say we, and some of us have fallen by the way, but now we want you to come back home, brothers and sisters. God wants you to come back even more than we do. But we love each and every one that comes to this line. Now, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may have been listening to Blog Talk Radio for quite a few months or maybe a few years, but you still haven't received him as your Lord and Savior. And we urge you to do so. Please do so. I'm urging you personally from the bottom of my heart. With all the things that I see that are going on, my eyes are wide open to all this destruction and stuff, not only natural, but people who are doing crimes towards each other, people raping babies, people raping elderly people, robbing people, burglarizing people's houses. Please stop these evil ways. Commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never done this before, I urge you to do it today. If you have a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, but you have a paper and pencil, or a paper and pen, when I give these scriptures, please write the scripture down and look it up and read it for yourself and commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what the word says, and you can do it, but if you don't believe me, read what the Holy Scripture says. God's word is always faithful and true. He does not lie. Now, the first scripture is from the book of Romans through 9. And the word says, the way to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must speak it out loud. The word says, it's near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak it out loud. Then when you do speak it out loud and you really truthfully believe that Jesus died for our sins, hallelujah, you must say it loud. Just speak it so it can go into the atmosphere, because the enemy can't read your mind. You can think about it all day, every day, but you have to let the enemy know, you know, that you are receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you're no longer going to work for him. You might not even know you're working for him indirectly, but you're going to put him totally down. You're going to work for Jesus Christ only and for your salvation. Hallelujah. And when you do this, you will become an ambassador to the Christ Jesus, our Savior. And you talk to other people. Every soul that accepts Jesus as the Lord and Savior, every soul that you speak to, and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, will be accounted to your to you. You're going to get that blessing for bringing that soul in. So please, brothers and sisters, do it for yourself, do it for your family. Now, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. And once you do this, you must repent. You do not go back to whatever you were doing, whatever you were doing or saying. Don't go back to it. Repent. And if you get tempted to say something or do something wrong, immediately say, Father, forgive me, I repent, Jesus, in your name, and I'm going to stay in your graces. Now, if you believe in your heart that Christ Jesus was sent by God Almighty to take the sins of the world upon his shoulders, and he obeyed the Father, and he did so, he took all these terrible, horrible beatings and all kinds of evil things they did to him, pulled his beard out, put a crown of thorns on his head, drove nails into his precious body. He did it all for us, brothers and sisters. He did it all for us. Every pain he suffered covers everything. Any kind of pain we've gone through, any diseases, it was all covered by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm thanking you from the pit of my soul. I'm thanking you for saving me and my family. If you do this, if you make that confession, you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's God's word, not Bishop Washington. That's the Almighty God's word. You shall be saved. Hold on just a second, please.
Okay, Bishop.
Okay, I'm sorry. I really noticed, and I didn't know if Apostle was in trouble or what. She's trying to do something downstairs. Okay, now, you must believe this. Okay, you must really believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. That's the word of God. I'm not making this up. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Then the next step is to be baptized, and that would be in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. Now, Peter said to the multitude that to be baptized, and the first thing he says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be of great value to you to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be very, very, very a very good thing for you and to your family. And when you teach others and speak to others, It will. God is sending you to draw them to him. So remember, you're an ambassador for Christ Jesus. So now you have a position in the family of God. Congratulations for accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now your next step is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember. And if you go to the book of Acts, also chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, it clearly states there is no other name mentioned among mankind that you shall be saved by. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Look it up for yourself. And you'll see that what I'm saying also is in the Word of God, and it's all the truth. Now, if you already have been baptized, but you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we urge you strongly to do so. If your pastor won't do it, I am someone who will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's in the Word of God. No other name except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it was done different ways, but, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, which Jesus is, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself, and you too will get the revelation that I did. Okay. Now, I want to thank everyone who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. And we'll be looking so forward to hearing from you. And you may have abilities to preach. You may be a real great, prolific speaker. We don't know. But don't keep your hidden talent, you know. Like Apostle said, don't buy a car and keep it in the garage and come out at night. Don't do that. We're going to know anyway it's going to come out. You're in agreement with us? Just give us an amen when the sermons are going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Now, I'm going to let anyone who want to make any comments come to the line. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, Apostle. We're through. It's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much. I always like when you come on and do that. Prayer salvation your own way. Just blesses me all the time. We just thank you so much, for being there for us and for us, you know, man. This is what being planted by the river of many waters does. You know, you recognize who you are and whose you are. Even Paul said in the world that many know of him, but they don't know him. And when we planted by the river of living waters, we realize that we are in this, we are of the same tree. You know, we are of the same tree. And we are drinking the same water. Understand? We have the same nourishment. So we have to love and have compassion for each other. And this is what the body is really missing. You know, the body of Christ is really missing it. And people, too many leaders, they have the money to show. They have the money to show the world. They have the stuff to show. They get on YouTube and they boast. Joel Osteen was just on there saying he had his house is $10.5 million. T.D. Jakes said his house is $3.7 million. You know, Creflo Dollar, his is $2 or $3 million. You know, they boast about their stuff because they think that's what it is. That's what they think it is. But it's more than that. It's more than that.
Yes.
It's more than that, Pastor. I tell you, it's more than that, and it cuts me to the core.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, when you get to drink from that water that God has shown us, when you get to know who the sovereign Lord is, because so many people know of him, but they don't know him. Paul thought he knew him. He said, that's an example for us. Paul thought he knew him. And he was doing all type of stuff that he thought he knew the Lord until he had a true encounter with the Lord on his way to Damascus. And he fell on his face. When he got up off the ground, he was blind, could not see nobody. God had to blind him to the world so that he could see Christ. And a lot of preachers today, Apostle, I tell you, Bishop, need to be blinded, naturally blinded, so they can have spiritual sight. That's what I
ask. Hallelujah.
For more of. More spiritual sight.
That's right.
You know, I have more spiritual sight. I'm very, very content for what I have. And I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't have what I want, but I thank you for what I have, because I have what I need. I tell him all the time. I don't get jealous over nobody's stuff, you know, because I got my stuff. You know, I got my stuff, you know. God, I told you this morning, God give a measure to everyone according to their needs. It's in the scripture. Read it this morning. To their needs. And I want them people that God give me so much, more than I can handle. Every time I relapse, Bishop, every time I relapse, God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Every time I relax, God, extend more grace.
Yes.
Giving me another chance to come up out the dirt. He did.
Mm.
He didn't have to.
Hallelujah.
I told you in the message, all them women that I slept with when I was in the world, drugging and drinking. There may be two of them still alive. Maybe two of them still alive. Majority of them dead.
Thank
and
God.
The guys I gone up with die. They're gone. I went to many funerals and look at them in the caskets. We had one friend that had this big house, and he had his big hot tub on the first floor, sinking the floor. He built a special room off his house and had it on big 4x4 studs keeping up the floor. He used to boast about all the stuff he had, all the money and stuff. His wife was a Christian, a woman, a devout woman of God. He did all types of stuff, contrary. You know, and his wife was out of town. He had women in the house and all type of stuff. And I looked at him in the casket. And Lord said, this could be you. But I'm saving you. I never knew that I would be a preacher. Because Lord said, I'm saving you.
Mm.
When the Lord called me out the crack house, I was in no Sunday school class and none of that. God called me, I was in the crack house. I was getting high. God told me I can't get high anymore. He said, but I will take you back where I brought you from so you can lead some people out. That's why I don't have no fear of talking to people that let them know how much God loved them. I'm proof. And he's showing them that what I did for David, I do for you. All you got to do is believe. I'm no respecter of persons. That's why I don't put myself on no pedestal. I don't want nobody to put me on there because I don't want to fall down and break my neck like Eli. You know? Don't put me on no pedestal. No, I love you. You love me. And we both love Christ. That's enough. Not put me on a pedestal. I'm asking God to help me to get up a little higher in the grace and the mercy that he had bestowed upon my life. That's all.
Amen.
I'm asking. Now, all the other stuff will fall in place. Now, the line is open if anybody wants to come on in and give God some praise. Because I got mine already. I tell you the truth. I got
Hallelujah.
Mine.
Yes, it's open.
Dorothy.
Watch your hand there.
Okay. Waiting to see if anybody else will come in. Yeah. Give somebody else a chance to go first, if they want to. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I thought I hear Brother Deacon Fraser was coming in there just now.
I don't think he's coming in. Glory to God. So I'm going to make my comment, Apostle.
Go ahead, Apostle.
So, because I know after a sermon, you know, that you got to get some rest. And so I'll be short, unless the Holy Spirit won't allow me to be too short. But anyway, some of the things I thought about, you were talking about the tree of hope, and you did in the last message as well. And symbolically, that tree of hope, because of the tree, and you said this, because of the tree that Jesus Christ hung on, he is that tree. He is symbolically that tree that gives us hope. Because God speaks of us, metaphorically, symbolically, a word picture of us being a tree. Not literally a tree, but that our lives will do what a tree does when it's planted by the rivers of water. You said that. When it's planted and we're deeply rooted in the word of God. And, you know, so I was thinking that we have to be, I know we have to be deeply rooted in the word who hung on the cross. Amen. The word Jesus Christ. And that we must continue to prepare for his second coming. Whether we believe that we'll be here or not, we don't know the time. We don't know when Jesus will return. But he is going to return. And I believe, well, I'll just speak for me myself. I said it in a message yesterday that I don't need a tree in my house to decorate, but I need to decorate me. I need to be decorated and clothed in humility. I need to be decorated in the things of the Spirit, fully decorated, so that I can live an honorable life for the Lord, and so that I will reap the benefit of what benefits that were given us to us from the man, the one and only Son of the living God, who died on that cross, so that we could have new life. You know, anything we want to grow, we have to do what's necessary for it to grow. Or anybody who desired to grow in the Lord, we have to do what it takes to grow. A tree is not going to just grow without the nutrients. Plants don't just grow without the nutrients. They will die. So the nutrient in terms of the Spirit is our prayers, our worship, our obedience. That's the nutrients that we need to grow spiritually. Prayers, fasting, praying, obedience, and continually being humble. We're doing those first four things, then in all likelihood, we're going to be humble. Because I don't believe we can be humble without being obedient to God. And I don't believe we'll have life and life abundantly without being obedient to God. It's all hinged on our obedience. Amen? We cannot grow without it if we're not obedient to God. So any seed that goes into the ground, as Jesus was planted into the ground, when he was planted in that tomb, when he died so we could live, so we could have new life. Amen? Looking to God for new life. And I kept thinking about new life, you know, bearing fruit. My God, and Jesus used that fig tree as a symbol. What our life is going to be like if we don't bear fruit. It's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And also, when you think about the fruit, when you think about the fig tree that he cursed, that fig tree wasn't bearing the fruit. But when you look at the fig tree, and we had a fig tree in our yard. We used to love to... James probably remember it. I'm sure they may have had one in their yard. But those figs were so good. And my aunt would tell us, pick all the figs you could pick, because she would make fig pies. She would make watermelon pies. She would take the watermelon rind and make that woman cook the watermelon, the rind. She would take that and make pies. that woman could make a pie up just about out of anything. But the figs, we used to pick those figs and wash them, and we had peach trees in New York. We had a peach tree, we had an orange tree, and we had that fig tree and a mulberry tree. We had this huge yard, and we had trees all over. And it was so good. So when you think of eating from the tree of righteousness, from the tree of hope, from the word which is symbolically or metaphorically, we can say that that tree is our hope. So the word is our hope. And so we eat of the sweetness, my God. When we eat of the sweetness of that word, my God, we eat of the sweetness of the fig. And so I'm thinking of it symbolically is that it's so sweet. What Jesus did was so great, so sweet. Hallelujah. He's our sweet Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then the word is sweet. It's sweet because it gives us what we need. How sweet it is to have Jesus Christ. How sweet it is when we think of all that he's already done. So he's our hope. He's the hope of our future. Amen. What a great topic. The tree of hope. He is our hope because he hung on the tree. Amen. Hallelujah. And that tree had splinters in it. That cross was not a smooth, was no smooth wood. Amen. It had splinters in it. So it was cutting him all over. My God. Hallelujah. Yes, the old rugged cross. That was old wood. Amen. Glory be to God.
Yes,
Jesus. And so I think of it metaphorically because it wasn't done just happenstance. God allowed him to hang on that old rugged cross. Amen. Why? I believe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That old rugged cross was old. And aren't we old before we come new? Don't we have all these splinters in life? We have all these splinters in life. We are old, and then we become new. Amen. And the splinters look like, to me, the sin in our lives. Each of those things on the tree, those splinters were sticking our Savior, the nails in his foot, in his feet, and the nails in his hand. He was nailed so we could have abundant life. All of our sins were nailed to the cross. And so the beauty of it all, and the thorns in his head, the beauty of it all is that Jesus suffered on that tree. So we have to suffer symbolically as a tree. Amen? We have to suffer if we want to come from the old to the new. Amen? We want to be new. So Jesus gave us new life when he hung on the tree of hope. Newness of life. And people just keep, and you know, I don't have a problem. Whatever people do is their business. But the trees that they hang the bulbs on and the lights and all of that stuff, that has nothing to do with Jesus. The little baby in the manger, Jesus is not a baby anymore. He's not a baby. He was Mary's little baby, but he's not a baby. Jesus Christ has already been crucified, died, was buried, and rose on the third day. What? They can show people the cross. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't no baby. We know he was born. I would never put a manger in my house. I would never do that.
Yeah, better be doing that. That's right.
I wouldn't do it. Jesus is not a baby. It's you know, he's already gone through that. The birth, he's already gone through that. But we reflect on the cross. We reflect on the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross and how sweet it is. Because the fig trees, the figs themselves are sweet. God knows what he's doing when he puts these word pictures. He put these word pictures in the Bible. And we have, Apostle, we have to look at it and see that if you eat those figs, they're very, very good. They're very good. So the tree is not bearing the fruit that it should. If we're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we're not going to make it to heaven and reign with Jesus. And Apostle made it very clear. We have to get our life right, prepare ourselves to meet the one who is the tree of hope. He is our hope. Amen. Nobody else can give us what he gives us. Glory be to God. So these people do that apostasy. They go, and some of them try to get the biggest trees. Some people even put trees in other rooms of their house, not just one tree, but they got to have
trees. Amen, right.
More than one tree.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then it becomes a competition in the neighborhood. It's a competition.
Yeah.
If one person got the snowman and one person got two trees, I'm going to get me a snowman and I'm going to get the reindeer. You don't have the reindeer, so I'm going to get the snowman. And next thing you know, make them spend some money. Let them go get the reindeer, you know, and they're going to put them on top of the roof and all that, you know. But that has nothing to do with Jesus, not anything to do at all. So I don't even see why a Christian would do that. I don't even see why a Christian would want to have a tree in their house all decorated with the lights. It's beautiful now. I did it years ago. I did it. But I didn't do it often, but I still did it because I wasn't even born again. When I was doing those trees, see, after I was born again, I didn't do any more trees. I didn't do the trees. I didn't want them in my house. They're symbolic of a curse. Glory be to God. But if you think of it as a symbol of Jesus Christ taking on it, that's all good. But just we're thinking about it. How about if we just live our lives lit up for Jesus? Hallelujah. Decorated with holiness. My God. This is what we have to do, Apostle. And then you made it very clear in the Word. This is what we have to do. And also that tree, the symbolic of the changes in the weather. Amen. The seasons, the changes in the weather. When Jesus walked up to that tree, it should have had some fruit on it, and he was hungry. You see? So another thing it brings to mind, people that are hungry, that do thirst for the word, Apostle, if you're going to a sanctuary and you're hungry, you thirsty, and you're not getting the meat of the word, you're not getting sound doctrine, that's sad. That's sad. It's like you're among those that are dead trees. They're dead. They have no fruit. They have nothing to give. There is nothing they have to give. That tree that's preaching, that person, that preacher that's preaching, don't have no fruit. They don't have no fruit. They got no power. You got to have some fruit growing in your life to have the power that you know you're supposed to have, to have the anointing that we know we're supposed to have. And this message can take you so far. It took you very far. You preached a long time today. Now you can't talk about me.
I was thinking about you, though. I said, well, I'm going to give her part of herself today. I'm going to hold the rudder to the ship today. I'm not letting go of the rudder for a while. So I was
like,
watching the clock right now. I have some time
like,
with the ship today.
Jesus, I'm not going to let go. I'm
on
the rudder
today. Yep.
Yeah, you went there. Today.
You know, Apostle, you know, Jeremiah talked about that in Jeremiah chapter 10.
Yeah.
He talked about the tree, you know.
Uh-huh.
He said, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest and work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. And what he's saying is that they have put so much trust in this piece of tree, you know, in their house. They decked it up with all these ornaments, and they end up worshiping the tree. They think the tree is so important to Christmas or to Jesus' birth, and the tree does not play no part in his birth. It's all paganism. It's all paganism, you know.
He wasn't born.
So they become doing idol worship. So he talks about it there.
It does.
You know.
It really does. And I'm not participating in it at all. I don't even want the lights around my house. I got the light in me. The light in me and
yep.
it shines through me. I don't need to do, and they do it around Christmas time, you know. And that's what started it. Like you said, paganism. It was the pagan gods that started that. And we don't want any part of paganism. You know, we have to do it the way Jesus has taught us to do it. Jesus is not coming back to get on the tree anymore. He's not coming back to get back in the manger. Mary had the baby one time. The baby was born. His name was Jesus. And that's it. All
that's it. That's right.
He was born. Oh, what a glory. What glory when he hung on the cross. But he ain't hanging on the cross anymore. But we have all the
He's not going back there again. Not a second time.
No,
he died one time. All sin.
One time. And we have the benefits of what he did on the cross. Amen. We have the benefit of everlasting life, the benefit for us to continue to grow in fruit, to bear fruit. Amen. For our lives to be sweet, for our lives to be wonderful in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With all of the thorns, because we're going to get some thorns in life, with all of the splinters that prick you, that prick Jesus on the cross, life pricks us. It pricks us. Glory be to God, but we go on. Jesus still died on the cross. He didn't say, Father, get me off this cross. He didn't say that.
That's
all
right.
of the pain, all of the suffering, he went through it to the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Came back so we could be given freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the message. Hallelujah. And I'm, you know, we ride around. You know, I like to look. When we were in Texas, it was so beautiful. All the lights and all the decorations we went through, this place where they had all the decorations, and it was like a little, they call it a winter wonderland, and we rode through
mm-hmm.
and saw all the decorations.
Yep.
They're beautiful to look at, but I don't need it in my house. It's beautiful. The lights are so beautiful, and all the decoration and all of that was so beautiful. All right, but I'm not going to worship it. I'm not going to feel like, oh, I got to have that. Oh, I'm going to go home and buy it. I'm going to buy that so I can put that on my roof. I'm going to buy that so I can put it on my front yard. And I'm telling you, it's a competition. It becomes a competition,
yep.
even with the gift giving, you know, it's
That's
the same
right.
thing. It's the same thing. And so we just got
to
think
We should not be waiting
until
Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Then Apostle,
Say that again.
I'm not crossing. We as believers ought not be waiting till Christmas to give gifts. We ought to give gifts
yes.
all year round.
All year round.
And the Lord blesses us. We ought to be blessing each other all year.
Yep.
I look for somebody that can't give us nothing
yep.
and bless them all year round.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a lot of Christians find excuse. Not to bless people.
Yes.
A lot of them find excuse not to bless people. Yep.
Christmas time.
They're trying to run to the store. Run to the store.
Spend a whole lot of money.
Yep.
Look what I got for you. Look, I got this for you and I got that for
mm-hmm.
you. And, you know, like I said, the gifts, if people want to do gifts, that's on them. I'm not condemning anybody who does gifts. We're not condemning anybody who does their trees. We're not condemning. There's no condemnation where God is concerned. But the decorations are beautiful. The trees lit up, they're beautiful. They're just beautiful. But nothing is more beautiful than an image of Jesus hanging on that cross. Not a thing in this world is more beautiful than the resurrection power that's given to those who believe. There's nothing more beautiful.
But you know, also to Apostle, what I find, mm-hmm. but I'm not crossing. We keep hitting. I keep crossing you. But you know what I find,
I find
in the Bible is that a lot of Christians don't study the Bible, because
yes.
all of these stuff that a lot of Christians got their house burned down with is because they're not studying the Bible. Because it's right there in the Bible.
That's
in the Bible.
Right.
You don't need no train your house.
No.
Jesus is not in the manger. You don't need no manger in front of your house. You got statue. That's idol worship. That's idol worship.
Right.
You don't need no statue in front of your house with no little baby Jesus. And
no.
A little donkey and a donkey and a sheep and all that kind of stuff in front of your house. You don't need that in a reindeer. He not in no stable. You know? Study the Bible. And then people run out of, oh, I got the stable in the garage. I got the stable up in the attic. I got to bring down the stable car. This is Christmas. And I got to put my stable up. Stupid, man. Let
yeah.
the stable be in your heart.
Yeah.
The stable should be in your
that's
heart.
It.
You know, what he
that's
what he
right.
done.
That's your heart.
You know.
Amen.
In your heart. You know.
In your heart. Let your heart be a sanctuary. Amen.
That's right. Let the heart be a sanctuary.
Just that's right. So they find ways. They find ways to make it look like I'm all that. I got it. look at my
God.
Look at my lawn.
Yeah.
Look up. Look at my roof. And I got Jesus. No, what you got is a whole lot of bull crap. You got a whole lot of unnecessary
yeah, I know
stuff.
Not all that. Because he cut me in that mess. I was weeping, Apostle. I was weeping. I was weeping.
Yeah.
He cut me in that mess. This morning he cut me so hard. I was just weeping because he took me back, Apostle. Lord, he took me back.
Yes,
he took
Lord.
Me back in that message, and I began to
yes,
see
Lord.
The grace.
When we went our whole life.
I see the grace. I see the grace and the mercy that he put upon my
yes,
life.
Yes, Lord.
And I began weeping. I began weeping
that's
and
right.
thanking him.
Well, I know.
He let me see
I
that I was. I've been at that tree of life, drinking
yes.
that water. That's why I'm still.
Yes,
that's why you're
Lord.
Still here, son. Not because
that's
that you all that, but you're here because
right.
I had you. I brought you to the tree where you could drink at
yes,
the rivers of
Lord.
Many waters. Oh you God, I was weeping. I was weeping. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
He had us sleeping in here for the service yesterday, Bishop and I. When the Holy Spirit, when you think of the goodness of the Lord, when you think of all he's done, like you said, the mercy, the grace, my
yes,
God,
yes, yes.
It'll make you weep. When you're in that state of worship, you begin to weep. That's our experience. That's your experience. We begin to weep and we get quiet to the point where you can't even speak. Apostle, I got to the point in the message where I could hardly speak.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit brought me back because
yes.
we got
yes.
to that point where I could hardly utter a word.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't coming out because it's that state of worship. It's the power that of the Holy Spirit that comes over us. The glory, amen, the glory of the Lord. And it's so sweet and so beautiful. And when you think of the tree, that fig tree represents fruit, it represents seasons changing, and it represents sweetness. The sweetness of life that you can get from following Jesus Christ. My God, for taking up that cross. I'll take all I have to take, but give me all I can take for the God of revelation of you, Lord. I'll take the suffering. I'll take it, Lord. You say take up the
yes,
cross
Lord.
And follow me. I'll take it, Lord.
Yes.
But
yes.
I also know my hope is that, and I know for sure, my hope is that you're going to continue to pour out on us, just like those rivers
yes,
of waters is pouring,
yes.
pouring, as we are planted deeply into the Word. We're rooted, we're grounded in the Word. We don't just talk about the Word. Mm-hmm. We don't just sing about the Word. We do the Word. we do the work, and it keeps us planted on solid ground. Amen? Mm-hmm. Planted. And then the sweetness of the holiness just moves in your life. It covers you. It just covers us. You know, when they were in the garden, you went to the Adam and Eve too. You went to them too. And after they sinned, they covered themselves with those fig leaves. That was fig leaves.
Yeah.
They were ashamed, but they covered themselves with those fig leaves, which is symbolic of Jesus being our covering. He's our covering. Hallelujah. The word is our covering. They got afraid. Aren't we supposed to fear God? But they got afraid because they knew they did something wrong.
Unknown caller.
They knew they did something, but, and then they put those leaves on them. And so all of it's so tied in. What you are preaching is so powerful, and I know you're probably going to keep going. It's so much more to
that
tree.
More, we got more that got to come. We got two, three more parts going to come.
Oh, yes, indeed. There is a lot more. And I'm going to be following you in this one. I'm going to be following you because it's so good. It's just so good. You know, when we come to the line, it's like you have to know you're in church. You're in church. When all the noise come and all the distractions that the enemy try to bring because we're not being focused. Those distractions.
That's right.
It's of the devil, because he wants us to miss it. He wants us to miss those nuggets, to miss those pieces of revelation that is so, so sweet. Isn't revelation sweet when God gives you something that you hadn't heard before? When God keeps you and you stay long enough to get some more. You're hungry enough and you're thirsty enough to stay long enough to get some more. Because God will give you more than enough. More than enough. The longer you stay, the more you get. Hallelujah. We can spend hours doing many other things, and we know what all those things are. But we don't want to spend hours with God. We don't want to spend time with God. And it's sad.
This morning, he blessed me. He blessed me this morning that I saw something in the book of Genesis. You know, you can read it. You can read or study the word for so many times, but when it's time, I got to say it this way. When it's time, God will let it come off the page for you to see it.
Yes, he
will. How many times we have preached on this scripture, God created man in his own image. And I saw it this morning, man, and it took me in a place with God. When he first said that, let us make man in our own image, he didn't make man. He was speaking to himself, he was prophesying, because that's how he saw it. And then he said, let us make them male and female. But he didn't make them. He just spoke it in the atmosphere.
Yes, he did.
And I said, God, I speak this thing. And it looks like, if you look, you're thinking, but then you go to chapter 2. Here God make man. But yet still, he didn't make woman yet. And make all the animals and all that stuff. And then he says, it's not good for man to be alone in chapter 3. I said, God, you are awesome. You awesome. I mean,
hallelujah.
The thing just came alive. Because God had prophesied the word.
That's right.
And then in chapter 3, he put Adam to sleep and took out one of his ribs and closed it up. And form a woman and take her to Adam and said, this is bone of your bone. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Amen.
But in chapter 1, God says, let us make man after our own image.
Yes.
Make
God
them male and female. Make them male and female.
Amen.
blessed me. I saw that thing. I said, Lord, thank you for revelation.
Thank you, God.
The
thank
more
you
read
God.
It, the more you study it, the more he reveals to you. The more you study. Mm-hmm. It's like the more you spend time with your husband, the more you get to know more. I don't care. It could be 60, 70 years you'll be your husband, and then 71 come, 72 years come with your husband, you learn a little bit more about your husband. You know a little bit more about your wife. Yes. It's the same way with God. Same with the natural, same with the spiritual. The more you spend with him, the more he reveals to you. Oh, my God. Pastor, I was so happy when I saw that. I said, God, this is good. It's good.
I remember my mama saying about my stepdad, when they got older, they started sleeping in separate beds and all that. And when you get older, a whole lot of things change. But anyway, it changed with them. And my mom said to him, one day I heard her say it, she said, you know, so many things I see now about you that I never knew. She said, I didn't know that about you. Mm-hmm. She saw things as they got, and it was one thing in particular he saw that brought it into the conversation. But she said, I never seen that before. And that, you know, that what you just said reminded me of that. That when you were people long enough, you will see things about them. Some good and some bad. I'm telling you. And
that's
some
right.
people be like, huh? I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's revealed. You know, after time, you think you know them exactly, you know them so well, and then you look at them or they do something and you be like, wow, I didn't know you were like that. I didn't know you like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you would ever want to go there. And you learn new things. But that's when you stay together. And your point that you just made, when you stay with the word, stay in the word.
That's right.
You're going to learn more about the word itself. God will break up that revelation knowledge. And something else important you said, hallelujah to it, was that you learn more, you get more. Did I lose my train of thought? I think I did. But you were saying that thing that happened with Mama, and you said that it'll just be, oh, Jesus, bring it back to me, Holy Spirit. It'll come back. But just that quick, I lost it. But it was good. What you were saying, if you just remember what you just said, it'll bring it back to me.
If you live 70 years, when 71 come and you're still with your husband or your wife, you will learn more about them than you knew before.
Yes.
Because the more you spend with them, just like studying the word of God, the more you spend with God, the more God will reveal to you. The more you spend with him. The less you spend with him, the less you will know. The less you will know.
Amen. 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 And I got those two things. I got that. It was something else you said, though. It was a nugget. I wish I had my pen right here by me. I got to keep my pen and paper. Because it was something else that you said, a few words you said, and it hit me. And then it went away right away. It just went away. So, but it'll come back because I want to listen to the sermon again. And it's going to come back because it's just a short sentence that you said, and it was just so good. And I had it in my mind. God gave it to me. But, you know, it just went. But it'll come back because I'm going back to it and listen to it again. It's even good when we go back and listen to the word ourselves when we do it. Because there are other things, even when you preach, there are other things when you go back and listen to what you preached, what the Lord gave you, you can get more. You get more from the sermon, even though you preached it. So somebody say, you listen to yourself? I said, I have to. I have to listen because there's something else God will give me, and I don't want to miss that. something that I might have said that I need to correct. See?
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to go back and listen, just like we go back and listen to other preachers. Like I go back, I can even take preachers out because I don't go and listen to other preachers every day. Every now and then I'll listen to a sermon, but I listen to Blog Talk. I listen to my church line. This is our church, and I listen to this church line. So, and it's all I need because I get everything I need. I get everything I need, but occasionally, you know, I might just come across somebody preaching. But I can't tolerate some preachers. You were talking about and all. I can't tolerate them because I know what they're about. So I'm not going to tolerate that. I don't care how good you're preaching. If I know you're not with the Lord like you're supposed to be, I don't want to hear you preaching. If I don't hear God's anointing, if I don't care how good your gift is, how good you're preaching. If I don't see the Lord in your preaching, I ain't coming back.
I don't listen.
I don't want to listen because it's almost like you're partaking or you're accepting what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, the old people would tell
partaking
us,
in the work.
Yep. Show me who your company is and I'll tell you who you are. If you hanging out with them, and you can hang out with them watching YouTube, okay? You can hang out with them watching them with a sermon on a TV or on your phone, and you can pick up on that stuff. You can pick up on that
that's not like God.
It's a spirit.
Yeah.
That's right. It's definitely a spirit. And so we got to be very, very careful. So there's more to come. I know there's more to come, and I look forward to it. And I said, thank you, Apostle. We're going to let you go so you can get some rest. Deacon Frazier's in the background, but I don't think he want to say anything today, or maybe he's busy. But I'm done, Apostle, because I want you to get some rest. How's your head feeling?
It was good today. Very good today. I tell you, it's very good. It's very good. It's no pain at all. So I'm thanking God. I praised him early this morning. About 7 o'clock this morning, I was up praying, and I tell you, thank him so much. You know, we can go through. So I was thinking, even as Bishop was talking and you was talking, you know, I thought about. I said, man, you know, I say it from time to time that we living with stuff that people die with.
Amen.
We living with stuff that people die with. Mm-hmm. And you know, my heart was in so much trouble, man. My heart was in so much trouble. I mean, I wouldn't afraid. Cause I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm not afraid, so don't even worry about it. I mean that from the depths of my heart. I'm not afraid.
Amen.
I wasn't always half decent, but I'm more than half decent now. I tell the truth. I'm living this life to live again, you know.
God be the cause.
You know, and I had to cut off some people that I know was trying to pull me into the dark side, Pastor. I won't lie, you a lie. I know some people was trying to pull me into the dark side, and I had to cut them off. I don't hate them. Mm-hmm. I had to cut them off. Because God show you, look, if you keep with these people, you're going to find yourself slipping back into a place that you don't want to be, that you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, Lord. I know what I'm doing. Just cut them off. I just erase everything that had their name. Everything. Everything that had their name. I just erase it. And block them out completely on phone, on computer, everything. Can't get to me.
Yes. Yes.
No,
I had to do the same thing.
Huh?
I had to do it too, Apostle.
Once you make that decision, to live for him, you got to start cutting out some people, man. Because God going to expose some people to you. He's going to expose some people to you. He's going to love to see them in the light of who they are. You know?
That's right. I know it's been quite a few times.
They want to stop you from doing and walking in the light. They don't want you to walk in that light.
And they say such discouraging things. You know?
Yeah.
Such discouraging things, but they're subtle with it. That's how the devil is. And they say it out loud and put it in the atmosphere as if you're not going to catch it. And if you don't say anything about it, they just think you're silly. You ain't got it going on because you missed that. But they're subtle with it. you know, and but God is letting you know all the time, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. And he let us, he allows us to see enough until he allows us to cut it off. I want you to see enough. And then next thing you know, that's it. You got to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, give, you got that patience. You got that mercy. God put the mercy in us. And God has given us his grace so that we can be patient. But it comes a time when the Lord will allow you to cut it off. Like God is long-suffering, we're supposed to be long-suffering. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. All right?
Yep.
Now, it's been a long time, so it's time to go. It's time to go, you know. And God gets to that point all over the Word. But he has been patient. He has waited patiently for people to get it right. And they keep doing the same thing over and over, and then God will cut them off. Sometimes he let them drop dead.
That's
sometimes
right.
God will drop, he'll drop people. He'll drop you. Okay, I gave you enough chances. I spoke to you, and I gave you enough chances to get it right, enough time, ample time to get it right. And when we don't, then he just drops us. The God of righteousness, that's his prerogative, and he's right about it. When you give
that's
people
right.
a chance over and over and over and over to get it right, and they don't get it right, then, hey, you got to go. Even if it's family, and it hurts. It hurts sometimes to let go, but you got to let go. Family members, you got to let go. People that used that you thought was close, then you still got to let go. Because
let them go. That's right.
Not a, Lord, I'm not going to let you come and contaminate me, contaminate my house. I'm sorry. It is what it is, and you made it what it is. So, no, got to cut it off. I was just saying yesterday it was sad. I told my daughter we were celebrating Claude's birthday. Claude already got a beard growing. I said, time just flies. And it's been a joyful 17 years with this young man. A possibly
yeah.
young man has never given us an ounce of trouble. When I tell you not an ounce of trouble from the time he was a baby, he was a good baby. He wasn't a baby that cried. He was a happy, joyful baby. And we just enjoyed him. Glory to God. We just enjoyed this baby. And I told him he'll always be my baby, though. I know he's 17, but he'll always be my baby. And Tian even said, she said, you know what, Mama? She said, if I could do it all again, I'd go through the labor. I'd go through all of it again just to experience these 17 years again. Isn't that beautiful? She said, I would go through the pain and go through it all over again if I could. Just to have that baby back in my arms and to continue to watch him grow. And we got pictures of his life all through, you know, and knowing what. I'm telling you, Apostle, this young man gives us no trouble. No trouble at all. He's not sassy. He's grateful. You know what I mean? And glory be to God. He's a giver. Glory be to God. So we got to get him more into Bible study, you know, because now he's older and he can learn, you know, he can understand more about the Word. We talked to him last night again about did he remember when we brought him, you know, when we pointed him to Jesus and gave him the salvation prayer. He was like 11 and very sick in the hospital, 11 or 12, and you were praying and that was when he had the pneumonia, and his oxygen levels kept going down to dangerous levels. But God brought him through. Amen? So anyway, as we were celebrating, I thought of that, you know, and what a blessing it is to have children that are not into some of the terrible, horrific things that they're doing, and it's so sad. It's so sad. We wish all our children could be you know, being obedient and not getting in trouble and all that. So we just got to pray for our youth more. Glory be to God. But anyway, Apostle, if you're ready for Bishop to close, just close. I know you got to get some rest. Oh, that's nice of you, dear. The man is cutting some of the trees off.
Okay.
That look good.
All right, good.
That's good. We had these trees hanging over our fence. We just had to get the prepared. And I asked the gardener to come and cut those limbs off that tree because it costs too much to get that stuff repaired, Apostle. And this weather is so crazy. It's so crazy. The winds have been so high and so much rain, too. So, excuse me, I asked him to come. He did a good job, too. Praise God. But okay, Apostle, I'm going to give this to Bishop. I'm going to close this out if you're ready to do that.
Yeah, he can close up. He can close the car. I don't lay down here and get some rest.
Yeah.
And,
so what's the schedule?
I don't know who preaches. If anybody preaching tomorrow or Saturday, I don't know.
Well, which day do you want me to do, tomorrow or Saturday?
Either one.
This
will
be Undara Saturday. Undara doesn't come anymore every third Saturday, huh?
Yeah, she should come and be Saturday, but, you know, she's been I don't know if she's going to come on this Saturday because, you know, she's been, the church been having all this stuff going on. So I have to wait to see if I get a message from her for Friday night. If I don't get a message from her for Friday night, we just come on. One of us will bring the word on Saturday, you know.
Okay, so you want me to come tomorrow or Friday?
Yeah, tomorrow should be good. Tomorrow's Friday.
Okay. Tomorrow's Friday?
Tomorrow's Friday, Apostle. Tomorrow's Friday.
Already? I missed that. I thought tomorrow was Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday. Today's Thursday.
Wow. Well, this time is passing so fast, Apostle. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, okay. All right. Then we'll do it tomorrow. I gotta get in word. Get some more. I had some left over, but okay, Apostle, let me get this phone too. Okay. Bishop?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to close out. Apostle, need to get some rest.
Okay.
Nobody's coming.
Open? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, it's open. So, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, prevent us faultless in the presence of his angels, to the only wise God, the power, the glory, dominion, and love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God Almighty.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bishop. I'll talk to you later. Get the message ready for tomorrow. Okay? God bless
right.
you. You know I love you, but God love you more. Brother Deacon, thank
Amen.
You so much for your presence. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hallelujah.